Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The ascension of our Lord is the coronation, the crowning as King of Jesus. The one who had been despised, forsaken, and rejected, the one who had been beaten, bruised, and broken, the one who was crowned with thorns and mocked with a purple robe, the one who was crucified, died, and was buried, the one who was raised from the dead, the one who, in the awestruck sight of his disciples, ascended into heaven, has been crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He had come in poverty and lived in sacrifice, but now he was returning to the glory and majesty, the power and kingship that had been his from all eternity. He is indeed King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Many years after Jesus' ascension into heaven, the Apostle Paul was writing to the Christians in the city of Ephesus. And he thought about all of these things, and his spirit soared and his heart rejoiced to recall them. And in that moment of joyful excitement, he knew the greatness of being a Christian, a follower, a believer in Jesus, the Christ, the King. It's because we as Christians have a great King. And because our great King has given us great promises, and because he has included us in his great mission. We have a great King, our Lord Jesus. The Apostle Paul says, because, as we read in verses 20 through 22 of our text, because God raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule, authority, power, and dominion, and above every name that is given, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. God also placed all things under his feet and made him head over everything for the church. Think about what the Apostle Paul is saying in these verses. The ascension is not just a story about transportation, a story about how our Lord Jesus went from here to there. It is the story of his enthronement and his crowning. He is the King of the universe, the absolute ruler over all that exists. That seemingly lowly man who walked the dusty paths of Galilee and Judea 2,000 years ago, he is the royal monarch over all things and all people. The things that he taught while he was visibly on this earth show that he is a great teacher. His loving care and his compassionate concern toward everyone he met during his earthly ministry show that he is indeed our good shepherd. The events of Good Friday, his taking our place and dying under our sin, show that he is indeed our Savior, the world's Savior. His breaking out of the grave and rising to new life on Easter show that he is indeed the conqueror of death and the grave. But his ascension is the climax of all of his work because it shows that he is more than just a teacher, more than just a healer, more than just a compassionate shepherd, even more than just Savior and conqueror over death. His ascension shows that he is king over all, that he is in charge of the whole universe. He determines the course of history, and he controls the destinies of the nations. He draws the line on evil and says, thus far and no farther. In a day when we are programmed to think that our destinies depend upon the great men in Washington, D.C., or in Moscow, or in Beijing, or the great leaders of management and labor, the ascension of our Lord and Savior Jesus reminds us that there are limits on the power of great men, no matter how invisible those limits at times may appear to us. Our Lord Christ is king. And that means that ultimately in the long course of history, he rules. It's not the captains of industry or the barons of finance, not the economic systems or political maneuvers or international treaties of people, not computers or automation, not weather or climate that is in ultimate control, but Jesus himself, against whom even the hordes of hell cannot prevail. People may flaunt their prejudices for a time, but in the end, Jesus rules. Injustice and oppression may have their day, but in the end, Jesus rules. A nation may go its ungodly ways and actually boast of its degeneracy, but in the end, Jesus rules. The church may suffer persecution and hardship, but in the end, Jesus rules. Cancer or other illness may ravage bodies and claim lives before their time. Tragedy may reduce people to helpless invalids, but in the end, Jesus rules. But how quickly we forget this great truth. In moments of worry, anxiety, fear, or panic, we need to recall the ascension of our Savior Jesus and the fact that he rules and reigns. We are not helpless pawns in a cosmic chessboard or transitory bubbles on a great ocean of eternity. No, we are the beloved sons and daughters of a great and gracious King, and he will let no evil prevail against our souls. We are safe in him with the promise of eternal life. This gives us courage and confidence, peace and stability amidst the ups and downs of our daily lives. Jesus Christ is King. The Eastern Orthodox, Greek Orthodox, Russian Orthodox, have a beautiful way of remembering this truth. Many of their older churches were built with a dome over the sanctuary, over the central part of the church. And in that dome is a painting of Christ seated on a throne. And so every time a worshiper in that church looked up into the bottom part of the dome, he or she would be reminded that the Lord Jesus is not only his Savior, but also his ascended and ruling King as well. The Apostle Paul knew that his Lord Jesus is alive, ascended, and ruling in loving power. And that's why he could rejoice at being a Christian, because we have a great King. Not only do we have a great King, but our great King also gives us a great promise. The Apostle Paul wanted his readers to know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. What's the Apostle Paul talking about here? Well, he meant the salvation and the forgiveness that are ours in Christ, the life everlasting that is our certainty in him. How often do you stop and think about that truth? How do you know that you have everlasting life right now and will one day enter into heaven? What part of the plan of salvation tells you this truth? What Christian festival tells you of that hope and promise? The festival of Christmas emphasizes that God loves you so much that he sent his own Son into the world to be your Savior. Good Friday emphasizes that Jesus died for your sins and earned for you forgiveness and freedom from guilt. The festival of Easter emphasizes that just as Jesus rose from the dead, you also will rise. Those three great festivals celebrate key events in the plan of salvation. They focus on the great and wonderful promises that God has fulfilled for his people. They tell us that in Christ, God loves us, forgives us, and raises us to new life with him forever. And now the ascension of our Lord completes that plan, because it tells us that just as Jesus has ascended and entered into heaven, so also will we. Jesus told his followers in John chapter 14, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you." What would this promise mean without the ascension of Jesus? We read the Apostle Paul writing in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that on the last day, the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. What meaning would those words have without the ascension of Jesus? In the second article of the Apostles' Creed, which our youth confirmation students are currently memorizing, we confess that on the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And in the third article of the Apostles' Creed, we confess, "I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting." Because Jesus has fulfilled God's entire plan of salvation, our resurrection and life everlasting with him in heaven are guaranteed. And our eternal life has already begun from the moment that the Holy Spirit worked faith in our hearts through the gospel. It's great to be a Christian because we have a great King who has given us a great promise of a glorious inheritance in heaven. His ascension assures us of the certainty of that inheritance that he has prepared for us. And finally, it's great to be a Christian because our King has called us into his mission. When Jesus ascended into heaven, he told his disciples to go back to Jerusalem and wait, not just simply to sit around and wait to be translated into the glory of heaven, but wait to be fulfilled, to be filled with the Holy Spirit for the mission that Jesus had entrusted to them. They were called to go and make disciples of all nations by baptizing and teaching all the truth of God's word. Jesus told them to proclaim the good news of himself as the Savior in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the very ends of the earth. Jesus had called them and had trained them to be fishers of men, to go and fish for people. Jesus molded them to be salt and light and leaven, to bring the good news of his love and forgiveness and salvation to the people of the world. He commanded them to feed and clothe, to visit and help. In other words, he had called them to work. And at his ascension, he gave them their working orders. He had called them to harvest and to build, to plant and to sow, to pray and to petition, to witness and to talk and speak about him. At his ascension, he sent them out and let them know that he was counting on them to carry out that important mission. And those first disciples and the many generations after them up to today were faithful workers in the mission to which Christ called them. Because they did work hard and were faithful, you and I today have the good news of Jesus, our Savior. And through it, we have been called to discipleship. We are Jesus' disciples today. And we have been called not just to sit in the pews of our church and to wait passively until we are taken up into the glory of heaven, but we have been called by Jesus to work, to take up the mission he has given to us, to speak the good news so that many more people would know that Jesus is their Savior, that he is the Lord and King of the universe. And that's not just a task for a chosen few. It is the task of each and every one of us who call ourselves by his name, Christians. So let's go do it. Amen.